Hello and welcome to the S Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Michael Lee.
And I'm Amy Chantasarisal.
All right, so this week's topic is San Francisco, something we should all be pretty familiar about, and I'm hoping to get a bunch of personal, cool, funny stories out of you guys for this one. So keep that in mind, or just go into tangents, whichever way that keeps the show entertaining. So let's go with the first question we usually like to ask each other. When was the first time you remember going into the city?
The first time I remember going into the city, well, I have family in the city, so I always remember that I would go up on pretty much every like second or third weekend to my friend to my cousin's place on Lombard Street. And so that's, you know, my defining memory of San Francisco is that's pretty much my defining
gag reflex.
Too much meat in your bun.
That's pretty much my defining memory of San Francisco is just being in the back of my parents' station wagon and waiting to drive up, you know, and see my family there. I actually don't even remember if I've ever gone to Fisherman's Wharf without other tourists in tow. You know, things like that. I just remember, you know,
see, the thing about living,
family.
The thing about living in San Francisco is that you never do the things that are famous to San Francisco because those are the touristy things.
Yeah, and they're always full of tourists. It's like, you know what? I just want to go get a good taco on Mission.
Exactly.
And then, you know, go home.
My first time in SF was very similar to Dom, visiting relatives who live here, and I've been doing it ever since I can remember. We'd probably do a couple trips each year, maybe two or three, and I just remember the drive seemed like it lasted forever, and the only thing to keep my attention was bickering with my siblings, music, like singing in the car or the radio, and playing the license plate game, and I had never heard of the violent version of that game.
There's a violent version?
Until I got to college.
Oh, you punch each other?
Yes.
Got it.
My parents wouldn't stand for that kind of thing.
All right. Well, my first time in the city, this one's part of a boring story, but that's when I moved up here to go to school, and I probably went into the city with my brother and my mom. But that's the boring one. My first really excursion into the city probably was with our friend Eric. We would just randomly drive into the city because he was the only one in our dorm who had a car, and he would take us and show us around to the delicious Chinese eateries on Geary Street.
Mm.
Oh, and Korean barbecue.
Well, my first time that I remember as a kid going in the city is because my relatives were in town. So you got to do that touristy crap. So we went to Alcatraz. I only don't remember really that much about it, but the thing that I do remember the most about it was that was the first time I discovered I like boats a lot, especially being in the front when it's like going really really fast and you can feel all
the
wind.
I'm the king of
the
world!
No, that was before that whole crap came up. But
on a boat?
I also did not like stand up on the railing or anything, but I just like the idea that when you're on a boat and it's going really fast, you can feel all the wind. That's really all I remember on my first trip into the city. And then the cities just sort of became like a different thing every single time for whatever purpose I needed the city for. And when I didn't need it anymore, I just flung it off to the side like I usually do. Anyways, so guys, what stories do you have from the city? And I feel weird like just letting you listeners know that San Francisco to us is the city. Just like you folks in New Jersey think New York City is the city for you. I hope I got that right. Don't write in.
Or yes. Do write in.
No, don't.
Especially if Kevin's wrong.
Dom, go ahead.
So I have a couple of memories of being really stupid in San Francisco. It's great. Right when I graduated from high school, we had a few weeks where my high school friends and I were like, well, this is our last summer. What should we do? Hey, I've got an idea. And among those ideas was, let's go up to the top of Lombard Street. You know, the windy one, in case you guys haven't seen that before. It's a pretty big landmark. And hey, let's just put on skates and just go down with no brakes.
I've seen people longboard down Lombard, like at 1 a.m.
Yeah, we didn't actually know how to skate very well.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
And so it was mostly me in a crowd going, actually, but to amuse themselves, I've seen kids in the city do worse. My cousins live on in the Noe area, the Noe Valley area, and you know, that's a really hilly area of the city. And one time we looked out from their apartment and it's like, what the hell is that noise? Because there was this hideous scraping and scratching noise. And we found out that there were these kids who were using the recycle bins as go-kart racers. And if you've never seen those recycle bins, they have two wheels. And so if you try and use it as a go-kart, then the back of it will scrape against the asphalt, making an incredibly loud racket. And also, it kind of heats up the plastic, and so that thing kind of starts to melt. And so there was not only a loud racket, but there was kind of a lingering smell after that one. I'm like, wow, the lengths that people will go to amuse themselves.
What do they do about brakes?
Brakes? Brakes are what happens when the hill levels out.
Or when they run into something.
Or when they run into something.
Don't they do a soapbox race in Noe Valley annually? I think it's sponsored by like Red Bull or something, isn't it?
I know there's the big wheel race in San Francisco.
Maybe that's it.
The one that you can police hate.
Yeah, I think it's like people just gather and anything that has wheels that you can sit in or sit on, you can ride it down this hill and try not to kill yourself.
Is that the one with the commercials of all those failed flying machines going off the pier?
Do not think so.
Probably not.
Okay.
But I know what you're talking about. That's also for Red Bull,
like,
right?
Like Flugen something, right?
Yeah, the Flunkin or whatever. The one with the crap. What's the sidewalk made out of?
Cement?
Cement. Cement boats. Concrete. Concrete boats. You ever heard about that?
No.
Concrete boats. Stop looking it up.
I'm just looking it up. It's called Flugtag.
Flugtag, of
Fly
course.
Day?
Apparently.
Well, flug means fly, tag means day, so.
Yeah. There you go. It's flying day. Keep going.
Sad to say, despite living in the Bay Area for so long, I never really did very much in the city, and now that I live farther away, I find that I actually want to. Most of my stories from SF would probably be the runs to Japantown, or maybe con-related, like AOD. I'm boring that way.
Tell the story about leaving Danny behind.
Yeah, Sung actually just brought that up. Tell the story about Danny. So since Danny's not here, okay. Danny lived in an apartment with several of the old officers from the anime club, Kel Animash Alpha. And so very often members of the club would make runs into the city to Japantown, pick up manga, magazines, what have you. And so they organized a big trip, maybe, a dozen people or so. So there were three or four cars. And so everybody met at Danny's place because that was where lots of the officers would hang out. Everybody knew where it was. It was a central location. Everybody gathered there, hung out for like half an hour, and then they started pulling the cars up. Everybody got into the cars, and we all went to J-Town. We got to J-Town. Hey, where's Danny?
I thought he was in your car.
I thought he was in your car.
Uh-oh.
So, yes, he had gone to the bathroom. Everybody else had gone to the cars, and everyone assumed that Danny was with someone else because, there were so many cars.
And it was his place. We wouldn't leave him behind.
Oh, that would be stupid.
Yeah, that would be stupid.
Oops.
It was funny the first time. And it was hilarious the second time.
Yeah. Sorry, Danny.
We're not that sorry, though.
I was not there for either one of those two situations, so I cannot be called stupid for it. There are other things that we have done that are not related to San Francisco we will talk about later on in the show sometime.
All right, well, here's a random story from today, actually. I was helping my friend move, and we were going from Russian Hill to Alamo Square. And he's moving into this old Victorian-style building. Three flights of stairs, no elevator, of course. Oof. Carrying furniture, loved it. It was great. And it's about like, what was it, like 80 today, 85 in the city? I don't know.
It was like 77. Don't exaggerate.
No, come on.
I'm serious about this. I looked it up.
Okay, so by the way, I've lived in San Francisco long enough to acclimate, and so when it's 70 here, it feels like 85 to me.
Yeah.
So he goes, check this out. I have roof access. So we go up onto the roof. And we get locked out. But luckily, he lives right across the street from Alamo Square now. So we hailed down some people in the park. We chucked the keys across the street. And they came and they unlocked the door for us. It was awesome.
Wow.
Wow.
We were considering jumping to the roof next to us because it was lower. And then we could climb down the shingles on the side. But we decided that maybe that was stupid.
And then that would have been totally Tony Jaa. Kevin?
I just lost my thought about my story. Oh, wait. Got it. So those of you know me pretty well, and I don't think we talk about this quite well enough, is that I have a very, very horrible obsession with action figures and toys and those kind of things, especially of popular things.
No, really?
Especially of Star Wars.
What?
So let me tell you about that very first time I went to FAO Schwartz in San Francisco and saw the floor with all the Star Wars stuff, and basically my mind exploded.
You see, your mind exploded because of the Star Wars toys. My mind exploded because that song at FAO Schwartz creeps the hell out of me.
Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world.
And unfortunately, the store is now closed.
Yeah, it's now Bloomingdale has it? I forgot. Somebody has it, and they use it to sell Christmas stuff.
I just used it to buy candy when I used to work in the city, so.
Oh, it is Barney's. Barney's owns it now. It's boring now. But it doesn't have the Millennium Falcon and the AT-AT and all that stuff and like all the Star Wars toys that you couldn't buy because they were way overpriced.
Kevin's about to have a nosebleed.
I've been having one since I was thinking about it. And then it like went up while I forgot.
I don't think it works that way, Kevin.
Well, the main thing is like I can't really divulge too much because we also have our top three moments from San Francisco that could be something of your own personal stuff or of whatever else you're thinking of. So I'm pretty sure Amy's going to be talking about The Rock. Anyways, let's move on to the next question I want to ask you guys. So what are some of the places you enjoy visiting, eating at, showing off to other people?
I still like being in UN Plaza. I have good memories of that from that same summer where my high school friends and I were like, okay, let's celebrate our last summer. One of my best friends and I, we just decided, you know, let's take a BART train. We're not too familiar with the city. We're kind of sheltered, you know. We're usually there supervised. Let's just go out there and see what we can see. And we started wandering around. And my friend Victor, he's like, so where are we now? I think this is UN Plaza. No, I don't think this is UN Plaza, he said. And he was standing on the words, we formed these United Nations. And we just looked down and looked up and kind of tried to laugh it off a little bit. I'm like, you're a moron. Let's keep going. And so, you know, UN Plaza still has a soft spot for me because it was one of the first places where I really felt free. You know, I didn't have any, like, supervision. There was no school there. And so, you know, it was part of how I got used to be the college experience. I really like Noe Valley because I have family there. What?
Wait, they're right next to the Castro. So Dom and Kevin, you're from the Bay Area. Mike, are you from around here? Or?
Born in Sacramento.
Yeah, okay. Well, close enough to Bay Area. See, I'm the SoCal person here.
Yeah, but you live in San Francisco.
That's true, and the rest
we're
of you
we're actually
don't.
Recording this in San Francisco. How
at
appropriate.
Amy's place. So anyway, what were you going to ask us about? Or about, did you just want to know?
About who was from where?
Oh, yeah. I'm from Redwood City, where the home of Redwood Man.
I'm from Saratoga, the home of lame people.
A bunch of jerks.
I'm from Sacramento. I think we're the capital of jerks.
I'm from Northridge, which is in SoCal, and I have completely cut ties to.
Too many jerks?
Too many jerks.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
So the
sorry, the commercial was just for The Legend of Chun-Li.
It burned my eyes.
Oh, God. Let's keep going.
So the story is that pretty much Redwood Man fends off the jerks from your city.
Exactly. That's why Redwood City is jerk-free, except for the ones that sneak by Redwood Man.
When he's sleeping, right?
Yes.
All right. What about you, Mike?
Call me touristy, but I really like that one park at the foot of Golden Gate Bridge. Apparently, that's not the same thing as Golden Gate Park.
It is not.
Which just goes to show how out of it I am. But as far as the other spots, I liked what little I saw of Fisherman's Wharf. Mostly the fact that they still had an arcade gave it a massive plus in my book. I've been to Angel Island 3 times, yet have never visited Alcatraz. And then there's that steep twisty street, which you guys mentioned earlier, Lombard. And soon we'll have the Walt Disney Family Museum over in the Presidio.
Really?
Really?
Predictably, I'll be looking forward to this one
Ooh.
The most.
Ooh, remind me when it comes up for the opening day.
Fear level rising. Rising.
I'm really excited. I really want to go.
Rising.
You should
Kevin's
come with us.
Nosebleed is back.
It's the other nostril.
Back. Oh, God. Amy, help me. Mike, wait, why am I asking you for help? Amy, help me.
Wait, Amy wanted to go too.
One of us.
One of us. One of us.
Me.
Help me, Redwood Man.
Redwood Man can't save you.
You're in San Francisco.
He's not hard here. Let's keep going.
Please keep going. What about Mike? You have any others? Okay, Amy.
That's it for me.
All right. So for my touristy places, I actually like Fisherman's Wharf because really there's nowhere else you can go in the city and get fresh, well, I guess sort of fresh caught crab and, you know, have it with butter and a lot of butter and a lot of butter and just eat crab legs. It's delicious.
You know what the greatest thing about Fisherman's Wharf is?
What?
Seeing all of the tourists there who are wearing shorts and a hoodie that they bought at Fisherman's Wharf because they didn't expect it to be that cold.
That is always freaking
great. It's really great just seeing those people with the bare legs shivering. It's like, ah, you're a tourist, sucker.
And then you see the guys with bare legs that, you know, and they're not shivering and say, oh, they live here.
Yep.
Well, because they're wearing t-shirts. They're not wearing hoodies.
Yeah.
That's a I Heart SF on them.
Yeah, or Fisherman's Wharf or something similar to that.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't mention Bushman. Is he still around?
Bushman's still around.
Oh, for those of you that don't know, Bushman is this guy that dresses up as a bush and hides and then freaks out tourists.
No, he doesn't even dress up as a bush.
Bush, right?
He's just a guy who's holding two branches off a tree or something, and he just crouches down somewhere behind a railing and scares people who walk by. My brother actually got scared, the daylight scared out of him
we
once by
hedge.
Bushman.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so for me, I wanted to mention this in that I really like going to... Man, I feel lame for saying this, but we do have a full IMAX in the Metreon, which is a terrible place, but they have a really, really nice IMAX screen, and really... For our area, the only ways to really see IMAX is to go all the way to Dublin, which is in the middle of suburbia, or to San Francisco. So we really don't have that many choices, and especially since a lot of things are coming out in IMAX nowadays. That's pretty much where we've been meeting up, I think, like every month.
Every time there's a big movie coming out.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
The other thing I want to mention is that I really like the Independent. It's a good concert venue. I think it's over near the Castro as well. I actually see a lot more bands there than I think. Oh, I see a lot of bands at the Fillmore as well.
Yeah, I go to the Fillmore a lot.
But I've never been to the Warfield, which is apparently like a very, very popular concert venue.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really nice. Yeah.
What about places that you eat at? Are there any? I mean, I'm sure Amy knows.
Yeah, you shouldn't ask me this question. We should have an episode dedicated to Amy's Eats or something.
My favorite place is obviously the one owned by my cousins in the Castro, Zad Inn. Plug, 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 plug. ZADINSF.com.
Nice.
Would you like to say that one more time?
ZADINSF.com.
All right. So any special events that you usually go to the city for?
Okay, no, wait. I have to plug a couple of eateries. I have to go. All right. My favorite taqueria in the Mission is called El Farolito's, and it's
that
on 24th and Mission. What else? Oh my goodness. Okay, if anyone wants to email me, I can give you a list of a restaurant of every different type of cuisine that you could ever want in SF. Just FYI. I'm a foodie.
You're a Yelper, aren't you?
I am. I hang my head in shame.
Why is that shameful?
It depends on what kind of Yelper you
That's
are.
True. That's true.
That is true.
I'm not the self-righteous kind of Yelper.
Good. See?
Oh, Mitchell's Ice Cream, by the way, on San Jose and 29th Street. Also in the Mission-ish area.
Anywhere else?
Okay, that's it for now. Those are pretty much my two favorites.
So what about any special events in the city that you've been to? I know that Chris went to the very special parade today. He got screwed in traffic for it.
The San Francisco Pride Festival.
Well, he
is
got screwed by
weekend.
Traffic. Getting screwed in traffic means something a little bit different at the Pride Parade.
Screwed by traffic. I just want to make that very clear.
Yes.
I stopped off in the fringes of the Pride Festival today. That's just because I wanted to get Vietnamese food, and it's right up against Civic Center over there. And I've been to the Pride Festival before, and there's one reason why I will never attend it again, and without going into too much detail, it's because of the smells.
Yeah, the Castro Halloween has a very similar smell, but with more alcohol.
It's bodily fluids and alcohol and sunscreen and latex. It's kind of a disgusting smell. I'm sorry. I have nothing against, you know, the gay community. It's just the smells coming from that festival. Really, really gross. Sorry, guys.
What smells do you enjoy, Dob?
What smells do I enjoy?
Smells, S word.
Well, actually, one of the one of the events that I tend to come out for is the Lunar New Year parade that they have whenever, you know, a couple weeks into the Lunar New Year, usually. And what I tend to do is called the Lunar New Year treasure hunt. And it's a trivia-based treasure hunt that we go around and we, you know, find, like, famous landmarks or even little tucked-away plaques that commemorate the history of San Francisco. And, you know, and so what happens is that we just go around, run around the city. We actually have to run around the parade. The parade route is on our map. Although the more inventive people who are on the same treasure hunt put on T-shirts that say parade staff and just cut right through the parade.
Nice.
Cheers.
It's not cheating. It's just awesome. But anyway, yeah, it's a lot of fun. You get to learn a lot about the city that you didn't know, especially if you're a fan of noir films, because there have been several of them that have been set here. And it's a lot of fun to do every year. Although the part where you climb Telegraph Hill, not quite as fun.
Hmm.
Well, that involved the word climbing, so I'm guessing that it would not be fun.
Yeah, you'd think that because they have so many stairs that go up Telegraph Hill, it'd be easier. No. No.
Just no.
There are a lot of times where you see people on the landing just gasping because they're just out of shape, and it's like, why do they have us climb up this damn hill?
There's a stairwell, or, yeah, that type of thing where it's like, I don't know, like 8 flights of stairs because the street level is split. And so it's like, where is it? It's over near North Beach somewhere. I think I want to say Larkin and Union or somewhere around there. And I walked up it once. I had to stop 3 times walking up this flight of stairs just to get to the other side of the street. It was terrible. I'm out of shape.
Everyone's looking at me.
I'll go before you then.
Well, all my special events are cheating because mine are AOD.
That's fine. That's
Cherry Blossom Festival?
The JTAF, the Japantown Anime Fair, WonderCon.
Hey, oh, WonderCon.
Man, mine was WonderCon. Damn you, jerk.
GDC for me.
Oh, I want to claim APE before anyone takes it.
I think you're the only one here that goes to APE, actually.
Dude, APE is awesome. I'm sure...
I've been to APE.
Matt and Ian probably go to APE, right?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
It's the Alternative Press Expo,
AKA
for those who don't know.
Indie Comics.
Yes.
Yes.
So indie, they photocopy them and then staple them.
Ashcan editions.
Yeah, those are fun.
Beers are just cons. You have anything you want to mention about those cons? Like pimping one that you like a lot?
They're a lot of fun.
Perhaps one that you staff that needs more attendees, like, say, AOD? Not that I...
Anime on display.
Animation on display.
Animation on
display. We're not just an anime.
Oh, that's true. We had the people that did Wallace and Gromit.
1 year, yeah. We had Rob Paulson, the voice of Yakko Warner.
Yes.
It was awesome. All right, any other events? Let's see. I go to baseball games up here all the time.
Oh, we went to Star Trek night at the Giant Stadium. It was cold, and I got my foam finger, and that was pretty much what I remember.
Well,
and eating a lot of blue cotton candy.
You also almost got to fulfill your dream of seeing two outfielders run into each other. You saw it on a television.
That's
while
true.
We were walking around taking the tour of the stadium.
Wish I got to see it live.
It would have. I saw it live underneath the TVs, because when I saw that it was going to happen, I immediately switched from the TVs to the little tiny people on the field. What? We were in concessions.
No, I understand. I understand.
Yeah. What? Stop looking at me
like that. No, no. Dude. So actually, this funny thing about WonderCon, I think I've actually been to WonderCon before I ever went to San Diego Comic-Con. Song, can you confirm this? I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I probably, if I remember correctly, went to WonderCon the very first time with Song, since he also was the first one to introduce me to Comic-Con. And I love WonderCon. It's basically Comic-Con without any stress.
That's true.
But they also have fewer guests, but whatever. I'm fine as long as I find the 50% off trades booth.
Yeah, Kevin's all about the dealer's room.
Just one place.
I was all about the Chuck panel.
Oh, that was awesome.
Didn't you take my badge for that one?
No, I bought a 1 day specifically for Chuck.
Oh, that's right.
This was before I even finished season 2 of Chuck, and now I appreciate it even more.
Yeah. That was awesome.
WonderCon was fun. We hang out a lot in the Hollywood room. We're going to do that again for San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yes, it's where I live.
More or less. Should bring, like, blankets and pillows and stuff.
Oh, we usually for WonderCon, I bring a bunch of sandwiches and stuff into the Hollywood room for us to sit there all day.
Good, good. Actually, yeah, San Diego Comic Con, you bring a lot of energy bars and stuff too.
Yeah, because... and also a Ziploc bag when I need to pee.
Oh.
But you guys are usually too. I usually pick a good panel that you guys are really interested into, like when I need to pee,
like Twilight.
We never had Twilight at WonderCon. Why? Please don't bring Twilight to WonderCon. It would totally increase the level of stress there.
Oh, no.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up the special events thing. I guess, okay, let's go into this then. I'm sure everyone's got their own topic on this, like your representation of San Francisco.
My
in, like, books or, oh. You know, the
in various media.
The way that you've seen San Francisco in different media.
This is
like, particularly, The Rock.
That's mine! Don't you touch it!
You Philistines, I'm choosing the Maltese Falcon. Come on. Have some culture here, people.
I have culture.
The Rock?
I have giant 49.5-foot tall women skating on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Was that Monsters vs. Aliens?
Yeah.
Oh.
And there's also Alpha Prime Mutants bending the Golden Gate Bridge so that it reaches Alcatraz.
Yes.
And also,
that was a terrible cut, by the way, because it was daytime when he started moving the bridge, and it was night when he put it down. And yes, Bullet is awesome.
Bullet 2.
Bullet 2?
The sequel.
There's a sequel?
Yes, what about the one with the giant woman.
How about we meet in the middle? We can meet in the middle. All right, we'll meet
like
in the
Malcolm?
Middle.
Like Malcolm?
No. How about Dirty Harry?
You know what's really surprising to me is I hadn't seen Dirty Harry until about a year ago, and I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And now I still need to actually watch the other four movies.
You don't...
Well, I have them. I gotta do it. It's how I am.
The Deadpool. God, what are the others?
Sudden Impact. Okay. Two other ones that don't involve orangutans.
But yeah, I mean, also, you know, there's the representation of San Francisco in Vertigo. And, you know, I mean, back in the 40s and 50s, San Francisco was it's hard to call it glamorous, given that, you know, it was all dark and, I don't know, what's the word for it? Oh, yeah, noir. But there are a lot of very, very good films that have been set in San Francisco, showing sort of the dark underbelly of just American society in general. Or there's The Rock, which is also an excellent...
Yes! Oh, let's set Amy up here with the Ferrari car chases and out-of-control cable car trolleys.
You succumb to The Rock. It's so hard.
hard like a redwood.
Who would win a fight in a fight? Redwood or Rock?
Oh, what have I started? I've talked about the Maltese Falcon. I've talked about Vertigo. You guys can go ahead and talk about how San Francisco is in The Rock, or how about Star Trek?
I was going to mention Star Trek.
Go, Kevin.
No, I was just saying, like, it's really interesting when the first time I found out that Starfleet is actually based in San Francisco, I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting, especially since back then they also must have they eventually had to make that distinction and just. You know, the city that they picked, and I was like, wow, they picked the progressive and, well, I don't know about back then, but now, like, kind of, you know, the city where most of the cool technology is also, like, closer to, I guess.
Yeah. Because San Jose isn't cool enough, which actually is pretty much true.
Yeah, San Jose is pretty much the boring cousin of San Francisco that you get stuck with at the wedding, at that table at your friend's wedding,
and then
you just smash yourself in the face with glasses.
Or get smashed.
Yeah.
Either way.
As far as Star Trek goes, I think they chose it because it was easily identifiable.
Oh,
I
mean, because of the bridge?
Establishing shot with the Golden Gate.
I like to think it's because of, you know, the heart of San Francisco.
The Summer of Love.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That's why they moved the X-Men to San Francisco.
Yes, because they're all inclusive and accepting of mutants.
Yes. What?
I'm not saying anything against
I thought you would say
I would like to also say that a show called Journeyman that nobody watched except for myself, which you all should because it's still free on Hulu.
That's the time travel one?
Yeah, it takes place in San Francisco and is awesome. Only 13 episodes, and by that end of that 13th episode, you're like, man, I hate everyone for not watching this show and making sure it got a second season, because it's just like, oh, not but ah. Oh.
Okay.
You know what I'm surprised that no one has mentioned yet? Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'm not that surprised by it.
The only thing I truly remember about that...
Well, they filmed a lot of that in the marina.
...was the Asian kids laughing at him across the window until they saw his boobs.
Well, that was just one of those movies that I remember that very strong San Francisco presence because, you know, they filmed a lot of it in the marina, and it's, like, very distinct San Francisco architecture. But yeah, let's see. So my two movies are The Rock and Bullet.
What about Homeward Bound?
What? Really?
Is that in San Francisco?
I don't know.
I thought it was across the country.
Somewhere in San Francisco eventually, right? For some reason, I remember like the cover art has the Bay Bridge, not the Bay Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. Okay, Kevin, check this, and then if you're right, keep it.
No,
the editorial powers.
I thought the cover was like a grassy field.
No, there's like a bridge behind them.
No, I thought it was just a grassy field. Okay, well, anyway. No.
Sung would like to bring up Martin Yan, the cook.
Yan can cook.
Oh, wait, Kevin?
Yes?
There was, what you're thinking of is Homeward Bound 2.
Oh, 2.
Lost in San Francisco.
Oh, the much better Homeward Bound, of course. How could I forget? They still haven't released it on Blu-ray.
Wait a second. I'm looking at Wikipedia now. The film is directed by David Ellis, who later directed Snakes on a Plane.
See?
Wow.
Wow.
Quality before you knew it ever happened.
Pedigree. Kevin, you have just lowered the cultural level of this entire podcast.
How?
By bringing up Homeward Bound 2, not Homeward Bound,
Homeward
The Incredible
Bound
Journey,
2.
But Homeward Bound 2, 2, Lost in San Francisco. 2.
Let me ask you, have you ever seen Free Willy?
No.
Really? Because Michael Jackson did the songs for it.
Did he? Cool. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
You've seen it, haven't you?
No. I've only seen the climax.
Whoa. Is it just my generation that ended up seeing it? Dang.
What do you mean, my generation?
No. I mean, like, every kid that I know of the same year as me has seen Free Willy. Actually,
I'm a year older than you, Chris.
You seen Free Willy? Yes. Ah, see?
I've seen it.
Mike, Sung?
No. They're not the same age as us.
That's why it's confirmation right here. So we're older than you. We didn't see Free Willy.
When's your birthday?
What do you mean, when's my birthday?
Yeah, what day
I'm
is your birthday?
I'm not saying it on the air.
No. I mean, is it coming up soon? I have a perfect present for you.
it is not Free Willy, okay? Get me twins.
No. Homeward Bound 2.
What was that Chuck Norris movie that was in San Francisco that Conan O'Brien really liked to show clips of?
Sidekicks?
No.
Sidekicks 2. Lost in San Francisco.
No, not Lost in San Francisco. I'm going to have to look this up now because it's bugging me. Because when Conan O'Brien was in San Francisco, you know how he kept showing Walker Texas Ranger clips? He switched it for that week to this Chuck Norris movie about San Francisco. It was like some Mexican movie, I think.
Bullet 3.
No.
Homeward Bound 3.
They didn't make a Homeward Bound 3.
Found in San Francisco.
Oh, wait, I'm checking that now.
All right, well, meanwhile, I'll talk about Bullet. So I did something really, really nerdy, actually pretty recently, I would say within the last 2 months, where I watched Bullet with a friend, and we paused just about every cutscene for when they were doing the car chase in San Francisco to identify and find on Google Maps where those buildings are today.
Nice.
Yeah, you can't really do that as much for the Maltese Falcon, given that a lot of those buildings don't exist anymore.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, Bullet was filmed in, what, 67? Is it that old?
That should be about right.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah. A lot of the buildings are the same. We went onto Google Maps and we're like, wow, there's that house. It's got that same door frame and it's got the same windows. Oh my gosh.
Holy crap. Yeah. I had no idea that you liked Bullet that much.
Oh, I mean, I just watched it.
I usually meet people and like, what's Bullet? And I'd be like, not talking to you.
I thought it was cool just because of all the San Francisco references, you know? I mean, there's a street probably not even a mile from here that they like, end their car chase in. I was like, that's really cool.
Is that why you picked this place?
Hmm?
You picked this place for that?
What do you mean?
If I could, I'd live on Dashiell Hammett Street.
Oh, that's not why I picked this place.
Actually, Dashiell Hammett Street isn't really a street. It's a little alley, and it ends in a little cardboard cutout of Humphrey Bogart, which is a little weird, but... It's kind of cool.
And
by the way, I found out the Chuck Norris movie is called Slaughter in San Francisco.
What?
And it has Chuck Norris as the villain. Like, really hairy crime lord who's a womanizer.
By the way, there's no Homeward Bound 3.
Thank God.
Why? Really?
Homeward Bound 3 Slaughter in San Francisco.
That would be terrible. Oh my God.
Any Hollywood exec listening to this right now, think about it.
Please don't.
Think about this and give us a call.
Two great things going great together. Like
Chuck
peanut,
Norris.
Like peanut butter and jelly and mayo. That's three things, but still.
Peanut butter jelly time.
No, where no, yeah, no, where no. Yeah. All right, let's go straight into the top.
Wait, I haven't talked about The Rock yet.
Oh.
Keep talking about The Rock. You guys can go ahead.
All right, everyone knows how awesome The Rock is. I don't need to talk about it.
It's the only Michael Bay movie that you can say is competent.
keep talking. I really do like The Rock.
I love The Rock. The only thing that bugged me was at the very end when he jams the needle into his quote unquote heart is more like his stomach. Anyway, but that's like one thing that bothers me about
him. I can't stand watching The Rock on cable because, you know, there's a list of movies that I have to stop and watch on cable when they're on, and The Rock would be on there if they didn't censor the swearing.
That's true.
I've seen the cable versions and the airplane version. Airplane version is pretty good compared to the cable version.
That's probably true.
Compared to the cable version.
Well, they are different.
Anything else about The Rock that you want to say before
other than
we
that
move
it's
on?
Super awesome. And it's one of the few times that I can still be like, hey, I remember when Nick Cage was cool. And hey, Sean Connery's cool too. Well, Sean Connery's always been cool.
Right.
Yeah. He stopped before he stopped being cool. Right? Even when he was a villain in The Avengers, he was still pretty cool.
I don't know. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was kind of bad.
That wasn't his fault. That was the script's fault.
Well, actually, that was also the fault of he was offered the role of Gandalf originally, and he passed. And then later on, he was like, oh, damn. So, So when he was offered for LXG, he actually, like, some people say that's the reason why he took that role.
Because
it was supposed to be, like, the next, you know,
you
franchise
know, I
picture.
Watched that movie instead of Pirates of the Caribbean. Ha! I didn't watch Pirates until long after it came out on DVD, and I regret it to this day.
I remember when Pirates was being announced and they had the trailer come out, a pirate movie had not been a big deal in a long time. In fact, the previous big one that everyone remembered was Cutthroat Island. That was a huge bomb. Although I love Cutthroat Island for its campiness. And, you know, I was like, ooh, a pirate movie. And it was like, nobody wanted to see it with me. I was like, but it's pirates. And now everyone's like, oh, pirates. And I'm like, oh, God, too many pirates. Talk about cowboys or something.
I totally would have seen that with you because I would say, oh, the ride.
Fear level rising.
I have seen Country Bears.
Rising.
And I own Haunted Mansion on Blu-ray.
Okay, I've just lost respect for you. That's not a fear level rising
thing.
Oh,
I was waiting for you to be like, no, I know you're lying, Kevin. Don't be a jerk.
That's true, too, that you're lying about owning Haunted Mansion on Blu-ray.
Yeah, there's no way I would ever own that. Or have seen Country Bears, but I really just wanted your fear level to rise.
I know what to get Kevin for his birthday.
Kevin, we're filling out missing parts of your DVD shelf. I got you Country Bears.
I got you Haunted Mansion.
So then, like, Mike and I can team up, and I'll get you Homeward Bound 2, and he'll get you Free Willy 2. And Amy can get you Free Willy 3, because there's no Homeward Bound 3.
Is there a Free Willy 3?
Yes, according to Ebert's quote that was taken out of context, it is the best Free Willy yet.
Wow.
What was the full quote?
Though none of the Free Willy movies is truly that good.
Nice.
All right, so let's go into your top three moments in San Francisco. This can stem from anything, personal stories or whatever other stuff that you want to talk about that you've seen in, like, media or what other stories you've heard about. So let's go straight to these. Dom, you're number three, unless you have honorable mentions.
I'll leave the honorable mentions for other things. I'm sure they'll come up in various stories. So my number three is the very first time I had sushi in San Francisco. It was part of that summer of San Francisco, I like to call it, because we just decided to hop a train and just go up there because we still had train passes that were valid. And we were like, wow, this is sushi, awesome! And it was one of those conveyor belt places because we were lame and 17 years old. And it was like, hey, look, it's that fried one, it's coming around again, why won't anyone eat it? Oh, right, because it's disgusting looking. And so it was the first time I had sushi, and my friend and I were there, and we were callow youths, and we were just staring at that one roll as it kept going around and around and around because it was this gigantic lump of batter. And it's not really a direct San Francisco story, but I still find it hilarious to this day where we just would like poke each other in the shoulder and go, dude, it's coming around again. Yeah.
To be 17 again.
I know, right?
My number three is 1967, the Summer of Love. San Francisco is the counterculture center of the hippie revolution. No, I wasn't alive then. I'm not that old. But it's still a seminal moment of history, and San Francisco was the center of it.
All right, my number three is the first time I went to J-Town and had a crepe at Sophie's Crepes.
Sophie.
Crepes.
Now I want a crepe. But they're closed right now. I know. Son of a...
But Sophie's Crepes, another food plug for me there. There you go. Go to J-Town. Go get a crepe. Get one with Nutella or strawberries or both and whipped cream. And
banana and Nutella is a wonderful combination. Now I have to go get a crepe, and I blame you, Amy. And because there's no crepe places near me, I have to go into the city for a good crepe.
The first time I ever had Nutella was at Sophie's.
Yeah? Nutella is awesome.
It is.
All right, well, my number three is the Cherry Blossom Festivals with you guys, the Cal Automage people.
Nice.
And I can't name any specific ones. We always seem to have a really good time, even though the Cherry Blossom Festival is really not that exciting.
Well, we always have a really good time at these podcasts, too, even when we're talking about unsavory things like movies that don't exist and such. So it's more the people than the Cherry Blossom Festival itself.
Yeah, but it was always that one time when a lot of us would get together.
That's
usually
true.
It was like... maybe a couple of people here and there, but this was always usually like everyone.
That is true.
All right, go to your number two.
My number two was opening day of what's now called Pacific. Is it Pac Bell Park? AT&T Field?
Well, the phone company.
We just call it the phone, actually. Opening day at that new park was exciting because it wasn't Candlestick anymore. So we weren't going to freeze our asses off anymore. At least that's what we thought. We were wrong. But, you know, it was a great view of the bay. There was Chris Isaak playing, and I still like Chris Isaak's music. And he's great live. He's got a really fun stage presence. And it was really fun just being a part of that crowd for the very first game, you know, going to, see the game through the little knot holes in the fence that they intentionally put there, so you could watch the game through the fence.
Cool.
You know, it is a really good park. You should put it on your list of parks you should see before they close, because even though, you know, it's a little older now. It's been 8 years since it opened, 2001.
It's not that old.
It's not that old, but it's, you know, getting older in building terms.
They're still playing at the Stick, aren't they?
The Niners are, yes, on Bill Walsh Field at
Candlestick
Park. That thing is ancient and uncomfortable, actually. All right, Mike?
My number two is 1989, the Battle of the Bay.
Are all your numbers year-related?
Yes, I have the year specifically.
Very nice.
The Battle of the Bay, A's versus Giants, Canseco versus Clark, McGuire versus Mitchell, Stewart versus whoever the Giants had pitching.
Hey! All right. Just because number one and two of the A's were just totally overpowering, the Giants had more depth in their pitching rotation, which is why the earthquake screwed it up.
Yes, and earthquakes. This one had it all. This was the one with the Loma Prieta earthquake, and I was in Sacramento. I was playing a game of chess against myself because I had just lost very badly to my dad the previous day.
Mike was playing with himself.
Yeah, that's right.
He does that a lot.
So I was lying down on the ground in the family room when I noticed that both of the bishops were on the same color square. And that's just not right. And as I was watching, all of the pieces slowly rattled over to one side of the board. As if huddling together for safety. It was kind of eerie. I looked up at the baseball game that was supposed to start on TV, and it cut off. And went to the local news, and they were saying that an earthquake had just happened. I felt the ground rolling under me, and it probably helped that I was lying down, so I felt it through my whole body, really. And I was 102 miles away. So, you know, I can only imagine what everyone in SF was actually feeling. Technically, I wasn't in SF, the quake wasn't in SF, but still, that's a top moment for the Bay Area for me.
Very nice. All right, my number two is actually working downtown. Working in downtown San Francisco makes working that much more bearable. There was a period of time where I worked for about a year and a half right off of the Embarcadero near the ferry building, and I could go and I could eat my lunch and be on the waterfront every single day. Well, every day that it was actually warm enough to do so.
Which isn't that common.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I used to work 2 blocks from the park. It was great.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff around there, too. But yeah, working downtown is probably one of the greatest things about living in San Francisco, other than living in San Francisco.
I work in downtown, and I'm just like, eh, it's okay.
That's because you work where all the big buildings are.
Yeah, where the banks are. Anyways, my number two is, oh man, I was like, I don't know if I wanted to include this, but it's a really good concert experience from Outside Lands Festival, which was a terrible music festival, but it was a really cool moment. One of my favorite bands, Broken Social Scene, this was the second time I'd seen them, and they did this new thing that I guess they've been doing it all their lives recently, which was at the very end, they have everybody in the crowd scream to just like let out all your energy or let out any problems that you've been having or like just scream for yourself and just kind of, you know, energize yourself. And it was really, really cool. And I remember I also like screamed really loud, and usually I'm not someone that's going to do something like that, but it was a really cool vibe. And most of the band was there. If you're not familiar with them, there's like over a dozen of them, and usually they're not always together. So when you have a good amount of them together, it's actually a really, really neat thing, and it's actually quite special. So yeah, it's probably the best concert experience I've ever had in San Francisco. And I still haven't showed you guys any stuff from them either.
Really?
Have I?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah.
All right. Well, my number one San Francisco moment, I'm going out of my own realm of experience here, and I'm just going to say Star Trek IV. Because it was so stupid. But it was such a, you know, different look at San Francisco compared to everything else that's portrayed San Francisco. You know, it wasn't like a dirty crime city. It wasn't like this over-the-top action extravaganza down California Street or any of those other famous places to have your car chase. You know, it was just Star Trek in San Francisco. And they were just wandering around. It was great. I liked it. Did you like it?
I like the whales.
I like the nuclear vessels.
And the yeah, in Alameda.
I think they're in Alameda, yes, aren't they?
My number one moment is actually earlier this year, 2009, the second day of Lupercalia, which happens to overlap with the animation on display, although this is not a con story.
What's Lupercalia?
It's one of those Roman festival things.
Okay.
But anyway, we went to a cozy little Italian restaurant called Cafe Macaroni. There's two of them on the same street, so watch out. It's over by the Transamerica Pyramid, and I had the best time ever. Between the wait staff speaking rapid-fire Italian, the authentic food, and the delightful company, it was the greatest dinner ever.
Oh, ever?
Ever, wow.
That's big a pretty words. Strong recommendation. I'll ask you about this place again in the future.
Here, I'll demonstrate.
If it still exists.
Mike is demonstrating now. He's getting up and he's getting in front of the. Oh.
That's a moment that you can't capture in audio. I'm sorry, guys.
Unless Kevin and I make out.
No, that's a different.
We don't do that like, anymore. Remember the pact?
Sorry. We have to have Amy or Lita in between us, right?
Aww.
What are these new rules?
Let's keep going.
Okay, my number one. Very, very hard to choose a number one because there's so much stuff centered around food.
Yeah.
But I'm actually going to go a different route here and actually say the concert-going experience in San Francisco. I mean, I think it's really awesome that on a Tuesday night, you can go see Jimmy Eat World at the Fillmore. Or on a Friday night, you can go watch Benny Benassi spin house music until 4 a.m. at Ruby Sky. Right. There's just like so much to do. The nightlife in San Francisco is awesome. And so the nightlife in San Francisco is my top, well, not moment, but my top favorite thing about San Francisco.
All right. So I got a story for you guys for number one.
Yeah.
High school. Most, Bay Area high schools have their senior prom in San Francisco, as did ours. And some restaurant off by the pier, some crap like that. But usually a lot of the kids, because it's so far, it's an hour drive away. Usually parents are like, oh, just have a bunch of the kids go to like some hotel room. They just sleep for the night or whatever. Try not to sleep and just watch movies all night and then eventually come home. Okay, so we've got several cars and like, you know, me and some of my buddies, we get into, you know, my car and, you know, I don't know the city very well. Really don't know the city very well. So my story is about getting lost right after senior prom. So I had, you know, my dates in the car as well as two of my friends, their dates had to leave early. So, you know, whatever. But we don't know how to get to the hotel. This is the days before GPS and, you know, using Google Maps. Any of that stuff. You know, Google Maps was new and exciting around that time. So, you know, not everyone's used to doing that. So we have the address and we just know we have to go to this cross street by Union Square. Well, when you're that young and dumb and you don't know anything about San Francisco, you sometimes think Union Square is the same thing as Civic Center.
What?
Well, when you're that dumb. Because you figure it's got to be some sort of, because Union Square sounds sort of like a place where there would be like one of those kind of buildings, right? Like the Civic Center kind of buildings. So for 2 hours, you get to drive around San Francisco and see a whole bunch of stuff that you're not used to seeing.
You were in the Tenderloin, weren't you?
Yes, we were.
Oh, boy.
I even got out one time to go get directions from some construction worker. That was not fun.
Not a real construction worker?
No, it wasn't real construction. Oh, okay. Thank God. Eventually,
standing next to the.
I remember my friend. One of my friends said, "Oh my God, we've seen hookers in San Francisco now! Yay!" It's like that. I think around like 3 a.m. we had finally found our way over to the hotel room, and they had just finished watching Miss Congeniality. So I was actually kind of glad we got lost. But yeah, that was pretty much the big story for me in San Francisco, getting lost right after senior prom. My date's even there, and she has no problem, because she's just like, whatever. But I was just like, wow, this sucks. I have no idea where we're going.
My dad used to own a restaurant in the Tenderloin. He's like, yeah, when I was open late, some of my best customers would be the various hookers and pimps, because whenever the police would come by, they'd just run into my restaurant and order something.
Wow.
And because, you know, I was nice to them, they were nice to me, they kept the riffraff out. And it's like, oh, that's great, Dad. I'm kind of glad I didn't grow up there. Because he closed this restaurant when I was like 2 or 3 years old, so I don't remember it at all.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up our episode on San Francisco. It's been a pretty good one, I think. Right? Right?
There wasn't a lot of nerding in this one, but it was still pretty good.
There was much more, like, Dom Kevin Gay than there was Dom Kevin Nerd.
Well, it is about San Francisco.
That's true.
And it is Pride Week.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
All right. So let's wrap up this episode. You guys, any questions, suggestions, anything really, you can always email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com.
You can always check out the schedule at s-words-podcast.com, including checking out future episodes and topics that are waiting in the wings. You can also find us on Twitter at Dom.
Twitter.com/s_words. Back to you, darling.
Okay. I'm totally lost on where we're supposed to go after this.
Can't beat the tweet.
Can't beat the tweet.
Find
beat
us on Facebook.
You can also find Redwood Man on Facebook now.
And a Nerdpoint app is on the way.
Go find him.
Redwood Man.
Thanks, Redwood Man.
He's actually Redwood Man.
Yeah, and?
It's very red. Where are we? Twitter.com/justinscorewords. Anyone got any shout-outs or suggestions? Whoa, suggestions? Anyone got any shout-outs out there?
I think we're... I'll have to say, go to my cousin's restaurant in the Castro. It's next to Moby Dick's. Zadin, Z-A-D-I-N. Look it up. It's ZadinSF.com. It's also used... It's where Hot and Hunky Burger used to be, if you remember the old Castro.
I just have a shout-out to the city itself. Stay classy, San Francisco.
Doesn't that mean a whale's vagina? We can just end on that.
I'd like to also let you guys know about a wonderful restaurant that one of my cousins opened up. It's called Shamalama Ding Dongs.
That donuts and Indian food place?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We call it, what is it? It's the place where it's happening. Anyways, you can always check them out. I think they're at the cross street of Kearney and somewhere. Go ahead and go try to find them.
You should use your sixth sense to find them.
Yeah. But remember, if you can't find them, stay unbreakable. Oh, look for the sign.
Yeah,
I think it's easiest to find it through the sign.
Yeah, it's right through the village.
The Last Airbender.
Yeah, I was just waiting for that one.
How? Good night, everybody.
And go minimum yourself, San Francisco. We'll be right back.
Hello, welcome to the S Words Podcast. This is, I've lost my train of thought.
A roundtable discussion.
Oh, of
about
course.
Pop culture about subjects.
Begin. Swords.
Saber.
Scimitar.
Began with a bloody S.